We're here for Zombie Flesh Eaters, going to be screened a bit later. Are you going to be at the screening, do you think?
I shall probably be eating my supper and avoiding sort of raw flesh and anything that might sort of disagree with me. Up until last week, I hadn't seen the film, and I saw it at the first part of this tour, opened in Dumfries, and I saw the film for the first time ever in Dumfries Cinema, in the Burns Centre. Mm-hmm. And for me, once is enough.
Right, okay. Because it's quite, this is how long now? 29 years?
30. This
30 years.
Yeah. I mean, about 6 months ago, an American rang up and said, did I realise it was the 30th anniversary of it being released?
Mm-hmm.
And would I like to join a sort of convention circuit? And so I went to New Jersey a couple of weeks ago and did a long weekend there. And I'm off to Germany at the end of this week. And I thought it just might be a good idea to see if anyone was interested here and try and set up a little tour. So I've done five. This is my fifth and final gig before I put it to rest and hopefully start again in America in the autumn.
Because it really has taken on a life of its own.
It's amazing. At the convention in America and all the places I've been here, I mean, the most asked question is, did you ever think 30 years ago that you would be sitting here with an audience in front of you asking questions about this film and telling you how much they loved it?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, however horrible it is or whatever it is, I mean, people actually love it. They have great affection for it.
I think it's a good film. I think it's got it's really atmospheric, and all right, it's kind of bloody and gory or whatever, but it's kind of quite a haunting atmosphere, I think, isn't it?
I sat downstairs tonight when we had this sort of meeting, but I didn't like Fulci very much. And I suppose I didn't really rate him until I sort of saw the film and saw that it is actually beautifully packaged. He's sort of put it together in a really nice way and has sort of made a special effort of sort of making sure that he had a fantastic sort of cameraman and a fantastic man doing the sort of special effects and the makeup. It's his hand that's sort of guiding it all the way through, and it's his success primarily.
Mm-hmm. And there's that amazing scene in it where the zombie goes underwater and bites the shark. That's the one that everyone.
Yeah. I don't know whether that was in the original script. I mean, obviously didn't involve me, and it really hasn't got anything to do with the film. But it's one of the two things that people sort of talk about, and the two things that are written about most.
What's the other one, though?
The other one is the sort of skewer of sort of wood from the door going through Olga Karloftis's eye.
Right, yeah.
Very slowly. It's a very long, drawn-out scene.
There's the amazing ending as well, with all the zombies walking down the bridge, and it's kind of a twist, really. It's not you generally don't get like a good ending in a horror film, but that's like
I don't know whether it is a good ending, because I wanted the film to end on the boat. I just thought they think they're getting away, and then suddenly you realise that he's turned into a zombie, and they've got no escape.
Mm.
And I thought there ought to be a freeze frame of her looking at me and thinking, what the hell's going to happen to us? And I don't remember them filming that when we were in New York, but I presume they did so many weird things when we were in New York.
It's quite a surprising ending anyway. Like it seems like a really impressive shot to end on.
It's quite impressive, except when you see the traffic underneath, and when you look at the posters, the posters of that shot have a thousand sort of zombies going across that bridge.
Mm.
Whereas, in fact, I mean, I don't think there was enough money in the sort of kitty. Although they spend a lot of money on the film, I don't think there was enough to get hundreds sort of going across that bridge. But it's a sort of good ending. But I would have preferred the other one if it could have got it.
How was it in the end that you ended up doing this film? Because you'd done TV work and stuff in Britain and then suddenly you're doing Italian horror films.
I did a BBC television series called Survivors.
Yeah.
And I'd finished it, and it was then, the first series was shown in Italy, and it was a bigger success in Italy than it was anywhere else in the world.
Oh, right.
And I'll say it when I do my little chat tonight. These people just rang up. I was in a play at Plymouth, and they said, we don't want to see you, we don't want to test you, we don't want to audition you, we're starting a film in a month's time, we want you to play the male lead, this is the amount of money you're getting, this is where you're going to go on location, here's a freebie, you can your girlfriend can come out to any location.
Mm-hmm.
All you've got to do, please, is say yes.
And you said yes.
Oh, bloody hell, like a shot. And so off I went. I finished this play, the play I was doing in Plymouth, and 3 days later, after a little hiatus trying to get a visa, I was filming in New York.
And what was the shoot like? Was it an enjoyable shoot, or was it just...
Yeah, I mean, all Italian crews are very, very sort of friendly. And they're very, very kind to their artistes, I mean, whether it's a major part or a minor part. I mean, not necessarily the director is, but the rest of the crew is. I mean, all the camera people, the sound people, the makeup, and the people, doing the catering. I mean, they're all sort of wonderful. They're very, very friendly, very helpful. Mm-hmm. And there's no animosity. I mean, everybody eats together. There's no sort of, big-headedness, anyone sort of standing on their sort of precedence. So I mean, that side of it was fun, and they were just sort of keen to help on whatever you wanted to do. And I suppose if there was ever a sort of spanner in the works, it would be director.
Thank you.
Right, and when the film was released, it seems to get caught up in this whole hysteria around video nasties, I suppose.
Well, there were two bits. So when the film came out, I mean, it was fairly notorious, but it was still released heavily cut by the board. They took about 6 or 7 minutes out of it, but it an 18 certificate or an X certificate, it came out of it. And it was shown in the cinema. I mean, my wife went to see it and left after 5 minutes. She went with a group of friends. And then sometime later, then it was being turned into sort of videos. And that was when the bit of bump here said it was the Conservative government, but it was the DPP who put together a whole package of 20 films which they thought weren't sort of suitable and were obscene or nasty in one way or another. And of those 20, three were mine. And as again, I'll say downstairs, one of the bizarre things about it is that my wife's uncle sat on the committee that banned them.
Oh dear.
But that, all it did was help the sales. I mean, the sales, this is one of the most successful horror films ever made, and it sort of corollary to that is that it is one of the most successful Italian films ever made. And when you think of the quality of directors they've had and the great films that have been produced, to have earned as much money as this has, it's just amazing.
I think that comes down to a lot of things. It's got a very individual feel to it, and there's also a lot of quotes in there, and there's a lot of very memorable scenes in the film. And it just seems to have sort of, like I said, taken on a life as of its own.
It has. I mean, the fact that it sort of lasted is amazing. And at the moment, as you probably know, and from the papers, I mean, there's a massive sort of zombie work going on.
Yeah.
There was a long article in the Scotsman last Saturday about zombies. That was a little bit about this tour. And then a couple of weeks ago, there was a long article in the Telegraph about the undead and the film, which I don't know, but they're making or in pre-production, sort of Pride and Prejudice and Zombies.
Really?
So, if they start with that one of Jane Austen, they've got the whole canon of her works to sort of to go through. They could probably do all of Dickens' works, put zombies in those. I mean,
yeah.
But they're just in vogue. Zombies, at the moment are a fantastic thing. I mean, I won't be in any of them. you've got Mr. Romero sort of, making them sort of regularly. And he was at this convention I went to in New Jersey. And we thought we ought to go and say hello to Richard Johnson and myself. So we trotted along to his room where he was sort of sitting down like this behind a table and introduced ourselves. He had no interest in us whatsoever. And he hadn't seen this film.
Right.
And I didn't get the impression that he either wanted to or intended to see it.
Right. And and then you went on to do the Zombie Holocaust as well.
Well, it's more or less the same film, but with cannibals.
Yeah.
That was going to be called The Queen of the Cannibals. That was its original title.
Well, there's also Cannibal Holocaust, isn't there?
There's Cannibal, Cannibal Ferox. I mean, if you're saying downstairs, if you look at my CV, it looks as if I've done 100 films in Italy, but in fact, there's three films with innumerable titles. This one tonight, is in Germany. It's called Voodoo.
It's Zombie 2, isn't it, as well?
It was called Zombie 2 when it first came out. Zombie Flesh Eaters for here. Zombie, I think, in America. And then lots of others. And as I said, the second film had that ridiculous title of Dr. Butcher, MD, which is really bizarre. But it was a bizarre film.
And then after the whole fuss about this film had blown over a bit, then you came back to Britain and did some TV work as well, didn't you?
Yeah, I mean, I did lots of TV work and lots of sort of stage work, which is what I really wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
But my Italian films finished just as suddenly as they began. I just had a feeling that I'd done my three and it was sort of time to go. I mean, I probably got too old or too bald or too fat. But an actor called David Warbeck sort of took all the parts that I thought I was going to play. I think I had one film lined up, which was going to be a Dario Argento film, and then that either the money was slow in coming through or something, so I didn't do it.
Right.
So I say I came back, I did lots of sort of what I thought was sort of good theatre, and then really decided that I'd had enough of the sort of frustrations and humiliations and the slings and arrows of
mm-hmm.
being an actor. And
well, you're a farmer now, aren't you?
Well, I'm a farmer now, but
mm-hmm.
my wife and I ran a school. We had our own school, private right. school, a nursery and pre-prep in London.
Mm-hmm.
And we had about 120 kids through that. And that,
mm-hmm.
I mean, that was fun to do. Far more successful than being an actor.
Right.
Sort of consistency of everything was there. And having the kids around was very therapeutic, I mean, teaching kids. I used to do the music. It's good for the soul. Keeps you young.
Would you ever be tempted to go back and tread the boards, do you think?
I wouldn't mind doing a television or a film.
Mm-hmm.
My only concern would be is because the parts I used to play were sort of big Shakespearean sort of classical roles or Tom Stoppard plays.
Mm-hmm.
My worry now would be, could I convince myself that I could memorize them?
Right.
And I would hate to embarrass myself by not remembering words. I've only dried once in my life on stage, and I got out of it at summer, and I got a round of applause, but I don't know why.
Mm-hmm.
But that was the only time it's happened to me, and I just dread doing it now because I don't know that I'd be able to get out of it the way I used to be able to.
Mm-hmm. That's fine then. Right, I'm not sure I've got much else to ask then. I think that's great. I watched the film again, Zombie Flesh Eaters again last night, just on the VHS tape, the way it's meant to be watched, really.
Tonight's out. I mean,
yeah, I mean, it'd be
I
nice.
Don't know how big the screen is downstairs, but the one in Glasgow yesterday, it seemed huge and it had a nice sort of curve in it. And it looked very, very good. You could see that money had been spent on it and that some people who had some class were involved behind the camera.
I'm looking forward to seeing it on a big screen.
Are you here tonight as well?
I will be, yeah.
I see, you mean you suffered it yesterday and you're still going to have another go today?
Yeah.
Greater love to that's beyond the Call of Duty, I'd have thought.
I think one other thing with the Zombie Flesh Eaters as well, I mean, I love the soundtrack to it, Fabio Frizzi, the amazing music to it.
I have to say, it was so unexpected when I heard it. I mean, it wasn't what the sort of soundtrack I thought a film would have. I thought it would be something
yeah.
more like a horror, a Hammer House of Horror or something, where it's mood as opposed to, this to me isn't really sort of mood rather than, you know, Goblin or whatever they're called, you said the guy's name, sort of doing a soundtrack.
Yeah.
I mean, I've got a CD of it there, of all the sort of stuff, which I've never listened to, but I've been told to sort of try and sell it when I'm over here.
Well, I think there's a lot of electronic musicians now in Europe, in like Holland and probably in Italy as well, who really
this was, you know, 30
yeah.
years ago, and the reason why it stood out to me, as far as I was concerned, like a sore thumb, was, I mean, 30 years ago it wasn't really what you'd expect.
Yeah, I mean, that's why I think it works. It's quite a sort of a haunting kind of soundtrack in some ways. It's very low key, it's not melodramatic at all, I don't think.
Yeah, well, to me it just sort of, it comes in and it's a bit too insistent. I mean, if that's what Fulci wanted, then, you know, that's what Fulci got.
Mm-hmm.
And he seemed to control everything about it, so
right.
you know, that was it. And I say the film, you know, resuscitated his career and it really killed his career. So.
Mm-hmm. What is Fulci doing now these days?
He's been buried for about 10 years. He's in the grave.
Yeah.
He did about 40 films as a director, and I think he wrote 20. And he worked, I think he was going to be a medical student, and he worked with some of the sort of really greats of Italian cinema.
Mm-hmm.
And then this came up, he was given the job of doing this, which is a copy of the Romero film, and sort of pulled it off. And thereafter, you know, for the next 5-6 years, that was all he did, was sort of zombie horror gore, which I think he eventually sort of grew very, very tired of and wanted to get away from, but couldn't, and the quality of the films he made sort of went down and down and down, and
mm-hmm.
the amount of money being offered to do things was shrinking. Until eventually, I think the last thing he was down to do, I think the money arrived, which he wanted to do, I think the money arrived the day before he died. And he died in poverty and in a diabetic coma, I think.
Yeah, it's a shame because he may have been, he may well have been sick of the of that genre, but he, a lot of the ones that he did make were the highlights, and they're still being read about.
I say that's it. You know, people just sort of seem to love them, and they like him as well. I mean, he always seemed that when I sort of were doing the sort of signings, I mean, the ones that have been signed by Fulci, I mean, the people who've got posters and programs and things, and photographs signed, I mean, they're really chuffed that they have, because they do think that he, you know, he was an exceptional chap.
I think, like, there's a lot of the 70s Italian horror films seem to have stood up so well. You mentioned Argento briefly as well, and he's certainly a lot of interest still in him.
Well, see, I mean, I went to this convention in New Jersey. It was called the Chiller Theatre, and my group was called the Italian Invasion, and we were all people who'd worked with Fulci. And I said there were four from Zombie, there were four girls who'd been in Fulci films, all Italian girls. Luigi Cozzi, who'd, I don't know that he'd work, but he did Contamination, and a little girl from something or other. And they all had sort of different ideas of what sort of working like sort of Fulci was like. But it was all of them, you know, from, supposed we'd all been working over film, these sort of films, for sort of 10 years. It was just the fact that people knew about them, and there was all sorts of ages coming in as well. It wasn't just sort of my generation who'd seen it when it first came out. I mean, it was people, you know, your age, whatever.